Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, sitting in studio with Paul Grant once again and talking about the settlement process and taxes. Death and taxes. So real in our lives, and gets very complicated as we pass away and hopefully pass as much of our estate onto our beneficiaries as opposed to the beneficiary called the government.
Absolutely.
They do want their piece of the pie.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, that's a great point, is that estate taxes are really for people who don't plan. I also say that probate is for people who don't plan. But really, in this area, if you have to pay an estate tax, I don't want to use the word negligent, but you just didn't take care of your estate. Hmm. So you can
totally avoid an estate tax?
We really can.
Really? With
proper planning. Hmm. And so there's many different ways to reduce and even fully eliminate taxes. So last week we talked about taxes exclusively. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, mm-hmm. get caught up on that one. We talked more about doing final tax returns. We talked about IRAs in depth. And so this week we need to kind of finish the tax discussion. And there's two taxes that we'll talk about. One is an inheritance tax. One is called an estate tax, and what the difference is. So more tax talk, just because, you know, taxes are so fun, just like listening to an attorney. So therefore, let's take a crack at a few more taxes, shall we?
Okay.
All right, here we go. So number one, a big misconception out there is that if I don't do planning, the government's going to take it all. That is not true. What it means is that the government, called Washington State, will tell us who gets your estate and how that is going to be balanced. So you've lost your voice in being able to direct where you want your estate to go and who closes your estate. That is what you have lost. It doesn't mean the government is going to take it. Now, there's two different taxes. Inheritance versus estate. Now, Washington State does not have an inheritance tax. An inheritance tax, I think only 7 states do. I'm not perfect on that number, but I think only 7 more states currently have inheritance taxes. They are being eliminated rather rapidly, actually. So an inheritance tax is, if I was to receive an inheritance and I lived in a state, doesn't matter where the inheritance comes from, that has an inheritance tax, then when I receive it, the government is going to say, because you have new money, you received an inheritance, you, inheritor, have to file a tax return, and I'm going to take some of it. I'm going to take it from the individual.
No matter how many times it's already been taxed.
Well, yeah, that is the rub against both of these taxes, mm-hmm. right? And so again, Washington doesn't have an inheritance tax.
Washington.
But they do have an estate tax. Mm-hmm. But what you just said, Mark, is mm-hmm. very true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. So if individuals have started businesses, they've worked hard during their life, and they have amassed something that can be now transferred, wealth transfer, yet they've already paid all their income taxes. They've paid taxes on being able to invest. They've paid taxes on being able to exchange, and so they've been responsible, okay, whether they had good jobs or whatever the scenario is. Now, after the whole rub on this estate tax issue is that after you have now been taxed, the government is going to come in and say, we like wealth redistribution. We don't think that you should have so much money or that you should have made so much money. And so therefore, we're going to take some out of your hands and we're going to take it because we know what's best and we know how to distribute wealth best. Okay. If you believe that Washington State knows exactly how to handle their budget, or the Congress does, don't do any planning. All right. So when does this happen? So when this happens in Washington versus federal, let's start with the federal because it's very high. When President Trump came into office, he raised the estate tax. It was about $5.5 million. and he raised it to $11.2 million. That means per person, Paul Grant can die with now $11.2 million, and the federal government will not tax it. I can leave all of that to my family. If I have over that amount, now a 40% tax is going to start. So now
40%.
40%. Mm. So now, if I'm married, that means I get to double it, but only if I've done proper planning. Mm. So I can, as a family, we can double that up to 22.4, but only when we've done proper planning. Okay.
That's so, the key. Only proper planning.
Proper planning. You. Proper planning. Proper planning. Mm-hmm. There, on a federal way, there's a thing called portability. It can port to my wife. So if I've done no planning.
This amount has gone up quite a bit.
Yes. Too, yes.
It?
From five and a half.
I think when I did an estate back in the mid-90s.
$600,000.
Yeah, $600,000. So it's gone up quite a bit.
A lot. So therefore, yes, it has escalated. Bush started it in his presidency, early tenure. He developed a plan that over 10 years, the estate tax would go up. And now, like I said, Trump has pushed it up to 11.2 per person, 22.4 as a family. But the tax is very high. It's at 40%. So again, there is still an estate tax. And who pays that? The estate pays it. In other words, the kids do because but it's just the responsibility of the estate as a whole. So therefore, before distributions can be made to the family, before distributions can be given out, we need to ensure that any estate taxes are accounted for, calculated, reserved, so that we don't have to ask money back from people who are already spending
their inheritance. But that's quite a high threshold. You have to have a pretty large estate.
That's
to pay any estate.
I absolutely agree.
Right.
And so now, do things change all the time? Every Democratic nominee right now has
to bring it back down to 600,000.
Well, 3.5. You're darn close. Wants to bring it back to below what it was 3 years ago. They want to bring it back down to 3.5 million, which means that if you're married, 7. Okay. So therefore, there's always a swing. Will the Democrats take over the White House? Yes, they will eventually. I don't know if it's this election cycle or the next, but it is always a ping pong match. It is always a back and forth. What a tachometer is that what it's called? When I forget the musical instrument that tells you what the beat is. I forget. Anyway, it just keeps going back and forth and it tick, 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 tick. Yeah, me too. So nonetheless, so it's always a back and forth game and it is low hanging fruit. It will change. It is very high right now, higher than ever in history. It'll come back down. Now, Washington State is where we need to be thinking about because that's at 2.2. It's actually $2,193,000. $2.2 million to make it easy, okay? 2.2. If you have more than $2.2 million, you have an estate tax.
A Washington estate tax.
Washington.
So there's two taxes.
There's
the federal estate tax.
That's right.
And the Washington.
And the
local.
Washington.
Okay.
And now, if you are paying a Washington, because there is quite a big disparity, there is a deduction that you get on the federal return if you indeed paid the Washington. So they technically, quote unquote, don't double tax you. But this is already the third or fourth tax if you're paying an estate tax in your lifetime anyway. So nonetheless, 2.2, which means 4.4 as a married couple. That is a much lower threshold, much lower. Think of property prices. If you own a home.
Yeah.
That you bought at $300,000 10, 15, mm-hmm. 20 years ago, it's minimally doubled, if not tripled. Just real estate mm-hmm. makes most people a millionaire in this area nowadays. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, therefore, most individuals really need to do solid planning. And we need to be aware of what it is. Now, where does the tax start if you have more than the Washington State threshold? If you have more than that, it starts at 15%. And for simplicity, there's an area that it skips. But for simplicity, for every $1 million that you have more than what the threshold is, it goes up by 1%. So it goes 15, 16, 17, all the way up to 21%. Okay. Now, again, we can plan. We can avoid the entire estate tax system in Washington and on the federal side. But we can't do it if you don't take steps to actually create proper, accurate planning. And so, therefore, I encourage you, please, if you're anywhere near this threshold, as a matter of fact, married couples, if you're anywhere near $1.5 million, I don't care what your age is. I don't care if you're in your 80s, and specifically if you're in your 50s and you've already been able to put together something, your estate is going to go up. And eventually, so if I were to die right now, and let's say I have $1 million that my wife and I have been able to accumulate. I'm 52. If I die today and just leave everything to my spouse, if my wife is conservative with her finances, that will certainly, for the rest of her life, into her 80s statistically, she will have far more than $2 million just by proper investing and being conservative with her money. So at any age, when you start having more than this $1 million, you've got to do tax planning, not just estate planning. Everyone needs to do estate planning. Everybody needs to do estate planning. I don't care if you only have a couple $1,000s to your name. You need to do estate planning, because estate planning is not just about transferring the checking account. It's about whether or not you have financial power of attorneys, healthcare powers of attorney, end-of-life documents. It is so much more. We have to take care of you as an individual first. Then we can deal with transferring the actual assets. So this is a call to action for everybody, even though we're talking about taxes. Specifically, if you have a house and it's getting close to being paid off, you've been able to save some in your IRAs or other investments, it's time to do estate planning. You got to get off your rusty dusty and head over to legacyandfaith.com. Get in contact with us. We would love to meet you. We'd love to sit down, talk about your specific situation, and create a plan that will bring you and your family security, and likewise, make sure that we're not going to accidentally end up in a tax-driven system when it's unnecessary. It is absolutely unnecessary to pay an estate tax. Give us a call. Go to our website. We'd love to help you.
Very intriguing. LegacyandFaith.com for more details talking about taxes and closing an estate this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. We'll be back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, I'm with co-host Mark Holland, learning a lot this week, as always, on the Legacy and Faith Show, talking about the tax issues associated with closing an estate. And one of the things that came to mind, and that I closed several estates, I did pay my taxes for the estate and did everything correctly, I think. But maybe
that's well done. Good job.
Maybe somebody's listening this week and they're saying, I didn't do any of this. Am I on the hook for some of these things that I didn't pay? And, what's going to happen?
Yeah, so there's a couple hidden dangers when we're taking on the responsibility of closing an estate. So if someone had an estate plan and they named you specifically as the one who is to close the estate, again, If it's through a will, that's called a personal representative. If it's through a trust, it's called a successor trustee. Now, what that means is that someone thought you were responsible, so they named you. The hidden joke is that they didn't like you at all because they just gave you one of the worst duties known to mankind, close an estate. Yeah. But nonetheless, you have been deemed the responsible one. Congratulations. So what happens? There's a couple places where we can run into problems. One of them is a taxing issue. So if we don't pay the taxes, we distribute everything. There are some taxes that we could be personally liable for, but really how it happens is that if the IRS doesn't get paid and they do an audit, they can come back to you personally because you did not
take... the executor?
Yep.
Or all the beneficiaries too?
Well, the beneficiaries would be on the hook to give the money back to pay the bill, but unfortunately, what do most beneficiaries do with their inheritance? They
spend it all.
They spend it. And now the IRS is coming back a year or two later after someone has already spent their money. Again, that's one of the biggest dangers of using a beneficiary designation as your only way of doing estate planning. Let me just get the money to the people I want. It is going to bankrupt the estate. It is actually one of the, just from my perspective as an attorney, you're really setting up your family for potential dangers, unseen dangers. Yes, you're getting it to the right person. I agree. A will can do that, but at least there is a process in closing it. And a trust, in my opinion, is always better because we have far more control over the assets when they're all directed to the trust. So yes, there can be a tax liability. And yes, it can come back to you personally if you've closed the estate and ignored it, knowing that there was an estate tax to be paid. And by the way, you always know an estate that there's a tax to be paid because we always have income and it's your responsibility to make an assessment of whether there's an estate tax. Ignorance is not an argument in breaking the law. It never has been and it never will be. So therefore, we need to understand what we're placing people at risk in. Now, there's also two other dangers. One is called beneficiaries. So in other words, you got siblings, and I'm sure that your family, all the siblings get, you know, they all play nice together. They, as a matter of fact, they've never had an argument in their lifetime. It amazes me that many clients say, oh, my kids are two peas in a pod. They're going to get along fabulously. So, because you've really tested them before in losing a loved one and having blank many dollars on the table that they're going to split in a way that is supposed to be equal and everything else. Look, your kids have never been through the ringers like they have when they lose a parent and now they're required to close an estate. That has never been on the table to test their relationship. So, it's interesting that what we're really saying is they have a good relationship now, and I hope that they will stay in that relationship when money's on the table. Unfortunately, my job is to be cynical that that's actually going to happen because my job is to protect the estate and ensure that it's closed properly and smoothly and peacefully. And so that's very difficult to do if you haven't done proper planning. And I hope that you are right. But see, I don't like to hope, I like to know. So therefore, planning always gets us to a better result. So what are your dangers? Sibling. Thank you. That's the word.
Sibling.
Sibling, that one. Rivalries come out. Okay. But I took care of mom over the past many months, over the past 6 months, over the past year, over the past 2 years. I'm the one who has done everything, and you've been off in la-la land living your life, barely calling us. You think that's a problem? Oh, man, talk about hurt feelings. Talk about everything rising up. So I don't know how you're going to die in 2, 5, 10, 20 years down the road. I can't guess what the scenario is of why the relationships have changed over the course of time. But that's why we need good planning. So number one, one danger is, yes, taxes, that we have to do it right. That's why we're here, is to guide families, whether you've been a client of ours already, or whether someone is calling us to say, I need help in closing an estate for the first time you're a client, no problem. We have a whole system set up to guide you through that process. And then how do we avoid the relationship issues? How do we avoid and how do we close things? When attorneys get involved, it feels very different to the whole family and it takes pressure off. In other words, my job is to step in front of a personal representative or a successor trustee and say, I'm going to be the face of the estate, not you, person. You're going to give me the written authority because the one you've named has the legal authority to do everything. So I need direction as an attorney. I just can't take over. Someone has to authorize me. I have to have a client. That new client is the personal representative or the successor trustee. My job is to solely protect them, to make sure that any hidden dangers, that they don't fall in a trap. As a matter of fact, I think it would be almost offensive if I left an estate plan and all of a sudden I had one of my daughters close the estate and they got in trouble because they were closing the estate. That is nowhere near what I want. Mm. So therefore, a good plan helps avoid that. Now, I can't control other people. I've tried. It doesn't work well at all. So therefore, I can't control that siblings have the rivalries. I can't control that someone is unhappy. The best we can do is show that there's a process and what the plan says to follow. The stronger the plan, the more you use your voice, then the more the family typically will fall in line to say, that's what mom and dad wanted. That's what we will do. And then if we have good, strong planning, it's also really difficult for somebody to come in and say, no, that's not what mom and dad wanted. So planning is your opportunity to ensure that the family has marching orders, a clear, distinct path to follow, and that we have the greatest opportunity to create family peace. I'm telling you, I don't care how hard I work, how much money I have at the end of the day, if my children have conflict because of that, I would have rather died a pauper to have nothing than to leave something on the table that would now be divisive to my family. That I think that's just one of the worst case scenarios ever. So now, specifically, if there is a child that has not been a part of the family and you've made the decision that you don't want to leave anything to them. So beneficiary designations are going to be a setup for animosity instead of having a good estate plan. So so if you have children that have elected to not be a part of the family and so therefore they're not going to share in something, boy, have good planning, please. Don't leave
because
this
behind. Because they probably will. After you're gone, they probably will come out of the woodwork.
What do they have to lose, right? They've just been disinherited. So why not start a conflict to see if I can get something out of that? There's already hurt feelings. There's already distance in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So that would be one scenario. Second, marriages. If you have a blended family, I beg of you, do planning. It is the worst case scenario to die with no plan having a mixed marriage. Mm-hmm. If you want conflict, get remarried, have no, or even better yet, have one common child and have non-common children. It is a legal nightmare. You want very expensive closing fees from a attorney's office? Do that and don't plan. So, look, we understand that there's many blended families out there. No problem. But you specifically need to do planning. So please, head over to legacyandfaith.com. Let us help you avoid these pitfalls. Let us help you avoid them. If a successor trustee or a personal representative is negligent, in other words, they're just not performing their duties, look, when someone dies and they're really important to us, a lot of people just emotionally shut down. And I understand. So that's another reason why we need to start doing it, because there are timetables. There's things that, the law says you have to do it within a certain period of time. There are hidden dangers, things that can open you up for attack, and we can help the family go through the process, and it all starts with better planning. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. We've got past podcasts. You can learn more. We've got upcoming educational sessions, and there's ways to communicate with us. So head over, legacyandfaith.com. Let us help you develop a plan so that estate taxes and conflict are at a minimum when it's your turn to go home.
Okay, Legacy and Faith Show and taxes. Great discussion this week. Again, all the previous shows in this series are at legacyandfaith.com. Always great information with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant and the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.